Too many notes. 12/19/21. I'm Paul Baalbek III, and the message I'm going to give today is, since Christmas is coming up, is the miraculous incarnation. I mean, it's something, you know, I try and think about it, you know, and that's what's great about Christmas. Now, some people don't think you should celebrate any days, and, you know, because one thing Paul says, but they forget the other thing that Paul says, some celebrate unto God, some don't unto God. So we don't judge each other. But for me, I love Christmas because it reminds me, it makes me think of Christ who lived for in eternity's past, God the Son, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And all things are created by him and for him, right? And he becomes one with us, yeah, without sin. I mean, it's hard to get your mind around that, right? But we live by faith and not by sight, right? So let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved the world. You sent your only begotten Son. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the miracle of his birth, being born of a virgin, begotten by your Holy Spirit. And today, Father, may you help us to... It's just hard to get our minds around it, Father. But it really is the wonder of Christmas. And so help us to understand it more and help us just to rejoice in that. But also help us to remember that was the beginning of the story. And we want to remember the end of the story, too. That he lived perfectly fulfilling your law. He went to a sinner's cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And Father, so we could become the righteousness of you in him. And so we thank you for that. We thank you we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I pray your Holy Spirit just will do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think through the message at the adult Sunday school this morning, Father, and also as a pastor when he preaches the message at church service. And also, Father, I pray as we go minister at the rehab later this afternoon that your Spirit will use us there to really touch those residents' hearts. And anything done here or anytime, Father, anything good that comes out of me is because of your Holy Spirit. So I give you the glory. And we just want to honor Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So again, we're going to look at the miraculous incarnation. So go to Luke 1:26-38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26-38. I'll give you a sec. Sec's up. Luke 1:26-28. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. That's a virgin. You know, liberalism teaches, you know, Mary wasn't a virgin. They don't believe in anything miraculous. You know, they just believe in so-called science. You know? And then science all of a sudden discovers something that God's Word said all along, and then they'll believe that. But Christ was born to a virgin. And, you know, because there's too much made of Mary in some religious sects, you know, where she's a mediator and things like that. And that's, my old pastor used to say, if Mary knew what was being taught about her today, her eyes would blaze with fire, you know. And then I think she'd probably be like Christ when he starts turning over the tables and takes the whip and, you know. But on the other hand, we want to honor Mary too. She was like a young teenage girl. And she's going to become pregnant miraculously. She doesn't know Joseph yet, right? And imagine what's going to be said about her. I mean, nowadays, it's accepted pretty much. If a young girl gets pregnant, you know. But years back, it wasn't like that. You know, it was like pretty rough on her. And Mary, she's a servant. Her sweet, you think about her, sweet, loving heart. You know, she's going to bear the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the seed that will come, that was prophesied. So we do want to honor her, just don't make her more than she is. So to a virgin, a spouse, so she's engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. So I think of Joseph. This dude's a pretty good dude. You know, not much is said about Joseph, right? But I mean, think about him, the shame. He could have had her stoned. If someone got pregnant and you were a spouse to her, and I'm not talking about go get stone, you know, on some weed. I'm talking about with some real bricks. And what does he do? He wants to put her away so she don't suffer shame. He's a good dude. He was a great stepfather. So she was to a virgin, in verse 27, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. You see the lineage? And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." I don't know, that just kind of hit me funny. Hail! You know, but that's just King James, the wording. So he says, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Why was she blessed among women? Because she's going to find out. She's going to birth the long-awaited Messiah. That was probably every girl's dream then. If you think about it, you know? If I could only be the mother of the Messiah. But Mary, she wasn't highly favored because, like, she was, say, more spiritual than everybody else. It was because God, you know, what is grace? Unmerited favor. You know, God showed her unmerited favor, and she was highly favored. "The Lord's with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. How'd you like an angel to appear to you? They ain't doing that today. You know, I don't care what Joseph Smith said. He says, you know, Moroni, the angel came, appeared to him, gave him golden tablets, and he starts a cult, you know. And you know, Muhammad said angel appeared to him too. What does Paul say? If we, or an angel from heaven comes and preaches another gospel unto you, let him be accursed. You know, so don't be looking for messages, voices in your head. You know, maybe you ate late that night, you know, or you're not getting enough sleep. And, you know, God speaks to his word rightly divided today, right? You want to hear from God? Open up this word. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of David." You see this long-awaited Messiah, their king. I'm going to go to 38. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there shall be no end." That's that prayer Christ taught them to pray. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, a lot of times people have a problem with contemporary music. Some, especially older rightly dividers, you know, it should be only hymns, you know, because, but listen to some of the hymns. They don't rightly divide the word. You know, peace on earth, good, what was it? Is it Noel where it says, "God reconciled, God and man reconciled"? It wasn't at Christ's birth. It was at his death. After that, where God was in the world, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them. It's after Christ's death, right? So I like both. I like contemporary music if it ain't self-focused and the words are accurate, and I like hymns also. You know, but some people think, you know, using hymn books is as important as using the Bible. And, you know, we got to sometimes throw out traditional stuff that doesn't coincide with the Word of God. So anyway, and he shall reign in the house, 33, in the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, and you can imagine, right? How shall this thing be? You know, she ain't even married yet, you know, and she doesn't know yet what's actually going to happen, right? Seeing I know not a man. So now, just for your own apologetics, that to a virgin, and also in Isaiah talks about, you know, the virgin, right? Well, liberals will say that word can be translated young woman. But see how what context will do for you? What did Mary say? I know not a man. She had never been with a man. She's a virgin. So yeah, it's a virgin. That's one of the essentials of the Christian faith. You know that? We can disagree on non-essentials, even speaking in tongues or not. Someone can still be my brother or sister in the body of Christ if they believe the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, and Ephesians 2:8-9. But if they come to me saying, you know, I don't believe in the virgin birth, and Christ didn't really resurrect, it was just a story to show us, then I'm like, I'm a liberal Christian. I go, don't call yourself Christian. Because genuine Christians believe Christ died for their sins. Literally, he was buried and he rose from the dead, right? Amen. So just for your apologetics, one verse will interpret another one. So see how to a virgin in verse 27 and then verse 34, Mary verifies it. I've never known a man. I know not a man. Did that mean she doesn't know any men? No. She never knew a man intimately. And the angel appeared and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is a 6th month with her, who was called barren. For now, this next verse, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know how much that's used out of context? To say, you know, God will heal me. I'm naming it and claiming it. Because with God, all things are possible. Well, here, what's the context? The miraculous birth of Christ, right? And elsewhere where Christ said, when man, you know, I forgot the exact words, but with the God, all things are possible. You know what the context of that is? Salvation. That's the greatest miracle along with the incarnation, right? Salvation. Because they said, well, how can anybody be saved then? Well, with God, all things are possible, right? Context, see? And people want to take a verse out of context. And if you don't know this word, you're going to fall for it. There's some slick preachers out there, I'll tell you. And Mary said, behold, now here, look at Mary's heart. And Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, like a, you know, servant's heart. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel booked from her, he departed. That's Paul's translation. From Paul's translation from the hood. Go to Luke 2. You know what? Yeah, we still got a lot of time. Yeah, Luke 2, verse 1. I think I'll get in all my verses today. Pray for me. Will you pray for me out there? Can I get an amen? Can we have fun in Sunday school? Yes. Amen. starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read it to 20. And I'm going to try not to comment a lot on it so we can get everything on. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Boy, things ain't changed much, have they? From the politicians. And this taxing was first made in Cyrenius and was when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You see twice, when you hear see things repeated in Scripture, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. It's important. The Holy Spirit is putting emphasis. Why is that? Because it's showing Christ's lineage going back to David. David was promised in his seed there would be a king. And God promised him a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, right? And so he says, verse 5, to be taxed with Mary. Boy, I'm telling you, tax God's mother in the flesh. God the Son, his mother in the flesh. Think they'd give her a break or something? No. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, and it was that while they were there, their days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And let me stop there for a sec. Her firstborn son. You know, it's taught in some sects of under the name of Christianity that Mary was the Immaculate. Well, it's Immaculate Conception, and she was a perpetual virgin. You know, in Scripture, I don't know if I put in here, Jesus had brothers and sisters.
Yes, he did.
You know, how can people get away with that, teaching that, right? You know why? Because people just follow and listen. They don't study the Word. Amen. I was sharing, I didn't know I was going to do it yesterday, but somebody who I knew from the hood, actually, and he died. He had a heart attack. I did last week two in the same day because it was for the mother and daughter. They had died eulogies. Well, they asked me, there was a thing at a restaurant, we were just going there, and they know I minister in that, so, because Facebook. And they asked me to do it. And then this one guy got a real nice brim on it, I remember, nice long coat. He's telling me that, I don't know how I always try and work some men, some seats I'm at if I have an opportunity. And he said he's trying to live for God. He's trying so hard, but he's failing. And I said, let me ask you, do you study God's Word? Once in a while. I said, well, that's one problem. You're not going to grow. And then if you don't apply it. And then I was telling him you got to rightly divide it. And then I asked him, too, because just because somebody, man, the flesh has this religious side, right? Where you want to do good. So I can think of myself as good, and other people, look me over, but don't overlook me, right? That's religion, that was Pharisees trying to impress everybody. Anyway, I asked them, I said, have you ever trusted that Christ died for your sins personally, that you were a sinner and you can't change that, you're born that way, and that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, he was buried and he rose, and I said, and that you receive it by God's grace, not working for it, just through simple faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift to God, not of works. I'll send it once you boast. He says, I think. And I said, well, think about it. And if not, trust. Right? So I told him again my number and said, if you've got questions, start studying. Because if he does know the Lord, if we don't study God's Word, if we don't get intake, because how are we transformed? By the, Paul tells us, right? By the renewing of our minds. What renews our minds? The Word of God. So if we're not taking in the Word of God, then our minds are not being renewed. And he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So if you're not growing, you know, when it says, I was thinking about this morning, what is walking? Step by step forward, right? If you're not walking in the Spirit, there ain't no standing in the Spirit. You're either going to be growing or you're going to be conformed to this world. So you're going to do the Michael Jackson, you know, the moonwalk backwards, you know, instead of growing. You know, they used to call it backsliding. But I didn't know it when I was Pentecostal, but they meant you lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation, but our growth can be retarded, you know, because we're not doing healthy things. Because we can't make ourselves grow. That takes God. It's God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, right? But if we do the healthy things, we feast on the Word of God, right? You meditate on the Word of God. You have intimacy with God through prayer. You're praying back what you're studying, what he's telling you is his will, right? And see, you're growing in your intimacy and relationship, spending time with Abba, Papa, you know, and then that's growing. Now, New Year's is coming up, right? And what I would encourage anyone who's been a little lazy, my mom was like that, and getting into the Word, she applied a lot of it. She was very loving, but a little lazy. And this is the New Year coming up, and you don't got to wait till New Year's. See, I don't make New Year's resolutions. You know why? Because say you, this year, I'm going to start working out, and they join the health club, and they sign $500 for the year, and they go about 2 days, get sore, and then, or they miss a few days, and then they broke their New Year's resolution, so forget it. I set goals. It's different. A goal is, okay, some days I'm working good for that goal. Like when I exercise, okay? If I miss, like during the holidays, I'm going to miss some days, right? What I start the next week, I start back up because I'm working towards my goal of, you know, being in better shape or whatever, you know. Like eating healthy. You have a goal, okay. Like Mary's does keto. She lost like 30 pounds. And around the holidays, she's cheating on keto. Yeah. Don't worry, honey. I know these people. Don't worry. Are we on video? But it's okay. Sometime we still have that goal, but say we messed up some, right? Okay? Just get back on it. I'm not saying pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm saying keep the focus of that goal. So, and why I'm saying all that is if you've been lazy in the Word, just start. Start doing it. And you know, the more you do it, the hungrier you get for the Word. Because you're liking what you're learning. And the less you do, and I remember Dave, you say, either this Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Word. If we get caught up in something, you know, so. Anyway, I would encourage you as a goal, to really start getting in the habit, a healthy spiritual habit of really getting up in the morning before anything, before you get caught up in things, and getting into the Word. Spend time with Abba in the morning. He'll give you some good advice for the day, I guarantee you. Now, whether we take it, you know, that's on us. So anyway, where did I stop? Anybody know?
Verse 7.
Thank you. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's been a lot of Christmas messages about that, right? But I understand why there has. Because people in the world, religious people are good for this, right? They like wearing a cross, right? So keep God right here, so you know I can, or when I want them, right? Keep them on the cross, right? Because he's a victim. You mean he's resurrected? Sitting at the right hand of the Father, high above all principalities, powers, and mights? Ooh, that means I have some accountability. I'm responsible. No, I like keeping God in my back pocket. You know, with my little word of faith, confession, and like a genie, and rub him with my cloth of faith and get my three wishes today. Health, wealth, and whatever else my carnal flesh desires, right? So they didn't, you know, the world don't got room for Jesus. But then sometimes believers, real believers, it's like, I like my life. You know, I don't really want to give this up. You know, then I would have to change. I'm comfy. You know, some people probably don't even want our church to grow. You know why? I like our little church. And God forbid you sit in the person's seat when they've been sitting there for years. You know, they come looking at you like, yeah. I thought it was so sweet of Dave and Sandy when, I won't mention names, but people started sitting and there were, you know, I always remember Dave sitting over there, and they just moved. You know, that's just grace, right? Anyway, hopefully we want Christ to experience that intimacy. We want him not, you know, if Christ is in you, he's in you, right? Literally. Christ in you, that's your hope for glory. But do we want to be intimate with them? Do we want to open up them doors in our different areas? Oh, are you getting convicted? Because I am. You know, one finger out, three back, pointing back at me. What about them doors in our life? We don't got room for them, huh? Because sometimes, you ever, when you're studying the Bible, do you read yourself in there? Like in the Pharisees? And you say, no, I'm a mid-Acts Pauline grace believer. I know him. We're not on law, we're not on grace. Yeah, but are you proud? Because you know a lot. Are you a big doctrine head? Or are you taking that doctrine and using it for outreach? Winning the lost to Christ and building in the believers, showing them about how to rightly divide. Because you know how many churches this morning won't be rightly dividing God's word? A lot, the majority. It's in the Word of God, but the pastors weren't taught it, usually. They were taught their denominational doctrines of whatever seminary, I call them, a lot of them are cemeteries, in the seminaries, you know, because a lot of them are just dead by tradition. But anyway, read yourself into Scripture. And, you know, if you see yourself, say, man, I'm thinking like a Pharisee. Well, what do you got to do? Be transformed, though, by the renewing of your mind, getting into the Word. The Word of God will push a lot of garbage out of our lives, won't it? Jesus said what? You'll know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. Where are you going to find truth? Father, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth, right? So, let's pray, you know, in our own personal lives. God, show me if there's some door that I ain't had room for Christ. And you know what you find out? I remember with, you know, my early Christian life, I was under legalism, bound up, defeated. You know, they didn't teach you how to walk in the Spirit. They said, be filled with the Spirit and Holy Spirit will just control you. No, Holy Spirit, God controls you through his word, not overruling your will, it's through your will, right? And so when I understood grace, I finally got freed from drugs. Because, you know, when I got saved, I was freed from drugs. But you know what happened? It's almost like your mind needs to get saved. When I'm saying that, I mean transform, right? When I understood grace, that freed me. When I got saved, I had such joy and peace. But then I got hurt by my son's mother, actually, and I won't get all in them details. But guess what happened? Because I hadn't been taught sound grace doctrine, I got hurt and I went back and started getting high. And then for a few years, I was up and down. I would do good, recommit to the commitment I broke, and then I would fall because I'd get angry. So we need to learn through the Word of God, have our minds transformed, and then, you know what I really learned? It's not just what you know, it's what you apply from the Word of God. So when I started applying it, I got set free from that. And then you know what happened from that? Because how many are praying? You don't got to raise your hand. If you want to, go ahead. For people in their family to get saved. Okay, one at a minute. Why were you looking at me? Anyway. If we don't share, I mean, I know some people just don't want to hear it. It's good for you, you know. Oh, really? It's good for me? Oh, you mean you weren't born in the human race that's fallen, spiritually dead? I know I was. But that's good for me. That I have salvation. Full and free because of Christ. Man, I want it to be for you too. So we need to share when we get opportunity, right? With those in our family. I know some, it's just hard. You know, some just cut you off in a minute, you know. But sometimes there's ways to share. Plant seeds, you know. Sometimes ask questions. You know, ask questions and make them think. And so anyway, when I had finally let that go, I thought, why did I wait so long? I have joy and peace and I'm growing. And then people in my family started listening more to me. You know why? They saw not a perfect person. They saw consistency and growth. And they saw joy. I remember my two uncles, my gay uncle and my Uncle George. And my Uncle George tells my Uncle Rich, look at Paul, he ain't got a penny in his pocket. And he's happier than both of us. They saw the joy. And when we're walking in the Spirit, what are you going to have? Love, joy, peace. They're going to see that in your heart. And it's going to adorn the gospel. So as we let Christ in them doors that, you know, we got a skeleton key lock, you know. And then we're going to say, why didn't I do it? I wasted, you know, I used to think I wasted years. But God works all things for our good, right? Romans 8:28. It wasn't a waste. Now, I did waste years, but God can redeem them years. And now he uses me to help other people struggling like that. You know, maybe there's another Christian struggling with drugs and they haven't learned how to apply this Word of God. You know, whatever you've been through, the tough things, and you maybe things you've asked God, why, God? I know you love me and I don't even like questioning you. But I just don't understand why you let that happen. He didn't cause it, but boy, he'll work it to your good. You're going to be able to counsel somebody else and help them to get free. Because God's a God of all comfort, right? And mercy. And he comforts us in all of our tribulations that we might, what? Comfort others who are going through troubles. So all it was a little schooling for counseling. And do you want to be used of God to help other people get set free? Yeah, there's none better when God uses you in people's lives. You know, that's why I love teaching and preaching the Word of God. You know, it's not I'm all that, because I ain't. But see, I depend on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think the message, I don't even think I got a cross. And you start, you know, preachers and Bible teachers always do that. They're the hardest critics on themselves. But then I'll watch the video or something. I'll go, I know that was your spirit, God, because it was making a lot of sense, you know. So it's God's spirit in us. And I just love that when all you're doing is being available. Lord, I ain't much, but here I am. I know you can use me because I'm justified in Christ. And let your spirit, Christ in me, by your Holy Spirit, express his life out of me. And it makes your life have real meaning and purpose. But when we live for self, that's kind of what? A little shallow, isn't it? Our lives? Narcissistic and, you know, and then we're not even having joy. So anyway, I guess I gave a little message on that verse 2. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And, you know, people go, oh, man, I wish I lived back there when all this stuff was going on. How, you'd be afraid too? Maybe you would have a heart attack if this angel appeared to you, right? And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Now I want you to think about that. Christ, who is God the Son, for all eternity's past, right? Who's worshipped by angels, right? And what does he do? He leaves heaven's glory, right? And he becomes, think how humble it was for him to become one of us. Perfect God and perfect man, right? And then what'd they do? They reject him, most of his people, right? The leaders, the religious leaders, they really did, because they were jealous. They thought he was going to take away their power. But it's just something to think of Christ. He knew the only way. We were so bad off, lost, spiritually dead. No way could we be make ourselves spiritually alive or even get forgiven. Right? I mean, they had the atonement system and stuff, but without the, it says the blood of bulls and goats in Hebrews could never take away sins, keep covering their past. And then they had to do it over and over. Like today, they try and tell people, got to confess your sins over and over, get in fellowship with God, or you lose your salvation or out of fellowship. Garbage. I just showed somebody about 1 John 1:9. That's not to believers. Matter of fact, they ain't even to the body of Christ. John, Peter, and James is writing to who? James 1:1. To the 12 tribes of the dispersion, to Israel. But even to them, it was an unbeliever in Israel he's writing to. Believers, he said that their sins were propitiated. God was satisfied with Christ's death. But Christ leaves heaven. Why? Because we were so lost. Right? We were God's enemies, going our own way, right? Doing our own thing. Not even seeking for God. And Christ still comes. He loved you so much. If that don't stir your heart a little bit, you better, if there's not something in there, like a little bit of a, I'm not talking about getting all emotional, but if it doesn't move you in some way, I'd ask myself, did I ever trust in Christ? Because do I appreciate what he did? You know, he was born, right? That was, the miraculous thing. God, now the creator of, like I said, all things. It's created by him and for him. But he humbled himself, right? And for the joy set before him, what was his joy? He knew what he was going to accomplish in the cross, to forgive all of our sins, not just our past sins, but our present sins, today's and future sins. God punished him so he never have to punish us. And then what should that cause us? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us, right? So now we want to serve God. We want to honor God. We don't want to bring shame to the name of Christ, right? And that should cause us and motivate us, grace in the service. Now, if you got no outlet, what I'd say, I watch when I say ministry, because our lives are our ministries. My old pastor said, never separate your life from your ministry, because your life is your ministry. But I mean, if, our church, actually, we should need to serve each other, with each other, right? And outreach. So if there's no ministry here, I mean, I love it now the pastor has given the kids a chance to read scripture. Even this big kid. A young looking guy over there. Guy who looks like he should be preaching up here with that nice shirt and tie. Ask God, Lord, you've gifted me inwardly somewhere. He's given you abilities. Lord, where, because of my past, the gift you've given me, where can I serve? Or if there's no ministry, start one. A lot of senior homes around here, ain't there? How many of you think are teaching God's grace and the word rightly divided? Teaching about the mystery. And I'm not going to give the ladies an out. Well, women can be an authority over a man, you know. What about a woman's Bible study at a nice, sweet old lady's at a senior's home? That's just, suggestion. There's different ways. Like, we go to the rehab. I love that ministry. And, well, you got to ask God, because there's schizophrenic people there. There's what they call bipolar. drug addicts. Oh, right, huh? And there, a lot of them look strange. Some of them are on so much meds, they're walking around like this. Literally. And I used to work there, and here's what I would do. Every day going to work, I'd go, God, let me see them through your eyes. Love them through your heart. And then when I go there, there's this love for them. The world thinks these people, most of them there would be on the streets if they didn't have that place. And I always say, if Christ were alive today, he would make a stop at that center. Because that's who he ministered to, right? The prostitutes, the low-down, dirty, rotten, corrupt tax collectors, right? Just some stanky old fishermen, right? It wasn't the big educated guys, though he reaches out to them. What is in Corinthians, Paul tell us? Not many wise according to this world's standards, right? It's like in our weakness, God can use us. So you go, yeah, but I don't know if I could do that. In our weakness, God, Christ is... Paul said, in my weakness, Christ's power is made manifest. It's in our weakness. We got no excuses. But I'll tell you, when you allow God to minister through you, it's Christmas time, right? What do you think Christmas? You should think first the incarnation. But what was that? A gift from God, right? God gave his son. And then I think of the Christmas tree, all little lights. We're like all little lights. Sparkling grace wherever we go. Some of us, you think they're ornaments. They fall and crack. You ever have that happen? Well, in ways, we're crackpots. Paul says, we're like jars of clay, kind of crackpots. That the power and the glory would go to God, right? That glory might be of God. you know, so I only got a couple minutes left. We won't keep reading there. I was going to go back in Isaiah and go to Colossians 1, 14 through 17. I got a few minutes. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 to 17. Right. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In whom, back up to 12, giving thanks unto the Father. See, we should always, our hearts be filled with the heart, attitude of gratitude instead of stinking thinking. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or qualified. See, we didn't qualify ourselves for the kingdom of God, that spiritual kingdom. God qualified us because of Christ to be partakers of the inheritance. See, you don't earn an inheritance. You just receive it by faith. Of the saints in the light. That's who you are, saints in the light. Who has, what is that? Past tense, right? Words are very important, even the tenses. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. See, when we were unsaved, we were in the under Satan's domain and it came into darkness. You know, when you're sharing out there and sharing the gospel, you're doing some damage to the kingdom of darkness. That's why you don't like it. But that's okay. We're only here for a short time, right? The days are evil. What's Paul say? Redeem the time, right? Buy it up. Use it. We only got so much. You see, it doesn't say in whom we get redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What's it say? We have. We live in a forgiven state. Because our sins were punished, right? That's one of the reasons Christ came. Not only to deal with our sins on the cross, but to, we were unrighteous too, right? There's none righteous, no, not one, God's word says. So the moment we trusted, Christ died for our sins personally. He was buried and he rose. God declared you righteous once for all eternity. Okay, but if I'm forgiven, I'm declared righteous, but the wages of sin is death. Now it would just be a cleansed corpse, right? What's a dead man need, I always say? Life. Christ rose from the dead, didn't he? So the end of the story ain't his birth. That is fantastic. If he didn't come, we couldn't have forgiveness. We couldn't have be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we couldn't have resurrection life. Right? So praise God. Think of them gifts as you're thinking around Christmas time. And remind your children and your grandkids if you got any. Or if you ain't got none, you got nieces and nephews. I'd say your dog, but they don't have a spirit. You could use your dog. Put some verses as you walk them, right? I never thought about that. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God's like, you see what Christ is like. You want to know what Christ is like? Look at a believer who's walking in the Spirit. Because Christ in us, when we're beholding him, what's it say? We're transformed more and more into his image. For by him, all things were created. Everything that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And this is who he is to us, and I'll end here. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is our head, right? We're his body, we're in union with him. Never think yourself apart from Christ. Martin Luther, you say that. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So I got to end, but if you would go in, let's see if I wrote it down. Philippians Paul talked about having the same attitude as Christ, where he humbled himself. What did he do? He humbled himself. First, he humbled himself in the incarnation, right? Leaving heaven and glory and coming in a stinking manger around, you know, animals because they didn't have room. And then he humbled himself going to the cross. It was our cross. He didn't deserve the cross. We did. We broke God's laws, right? We were the criminal. And he loved you so much. And God loved you so much. He demonstrated that love. He didn't just talk about it like people do. He demonstrated that love. And while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And it didn't stop there. He rose from the dead and seated. He's our head, right? That's the real Christmas story. The whole show. Let's pray.